Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you again, but boy, is it a hot one, as I know you are experiencing as well as I am right now. I haven't even got the sermon going, and I'm already sweating. Well, one thing is for sure. We do need to pray for our country in a very serious manner in which it is struggling right now out west. They're having terrible, terrible problems out there with the drought and infestation of grasshoppers and what have you, which I've mentioned to you in the past. We also have a tremendous triple-digit heat wave now that is dominating the southeast. And because of that, we have many people that are under duress. And that puts a heavy stress on everybody's physical immune system. So I would ask you, please, to remember them in prayer and remember all the brethren in the church, wherever they are. This is not only happening here. It's amazing. Things are happening all around the world that reveal that something is going on, and people sense it, but they can't put the dots, they can't connect them, they can't quite understand, well, what does this mean? And then, of course, you got the naysayers. Everybody will say, well, we told you it was climate change, and if you don't do something in a hurry, but pray to our dear God in heaven, what could we do to change and solve all the problems we're dealing with? The answer is we couldn't. It's out of control, and it's going on a spiral straight down. Well, today what I wanted to address a topic to help understand the situation that we're all experiencing now in the Church of God. The world is experiencing it, but they don't understand because many of them don't look to the Word of God for answers. We've chosen to base our life by looking to the Word of God, who is the all-wise, all-knowing God, who can give us answers that we can't find anywhere else. And when we study his word, we find some very interesting things that begin to explain what you and I are experiencing in everyday life all around us. Today we get so much confusion and mixed messages coming from various parts of our government, and supposedly they're supposed to be in the know. The only problem is it just becomes more confused in the minds of people. And so the question I ask, who is the author of confusion? And the Bible makes it very clear, it's Satan the devil. Satan the devil? You mean there is really a devil? The answer is, oh yes. Far more real than most people understand. Because he exists in a hidden realm that is not visible to the average human being. And that's why they dismiss him. But when you understand from God's point of view, and everything should be looked at from God's point of view, you begin to see things you would never see unless you embraced that position according to the Bible. In the end time, Jesus said that there would be certain things that were going to happen that could give you a glimpse as to what was coming. And the famous Olivet prophecy in Matthew 24 is where we're going to begin this afternoon, because it tells us something that I don't think people fully can comprehend in our day and age today. Mankind seems to have gotten so far away from things of value and meaning and understanding that formulated this wonderful country called the United States of America, which was a unique experiment among nations, because nations don't have what America has as a basis. We have a constitutional republic, and it was given to us by the hand of God by early individuals who are being maligned, their character is being smeared every which way. And that's a lie in itself, because these individuals were wealthy landowners. These were people who were well-read. They understood history. Not like us. Many of us are dumbed down today. If you ask people about history, most people draw a blank. They can't comprehend. What are you talking about? Because they've never looked at it. They've never been trained to see and understand the things of past generations. And if you don't learn from the past, you don't know where you are now, and you don't know where you're going. So here we have an interesting period of time that the Bible addresses. And of course, the disciples, now these were followers of Jesus, they wanted to know. They said in the beginning of that famous Olivet prophecy, what would be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Or the world, as the world sometimes think it, but it's not the end of the world, but the end of the age of man's rule. And what we find in the scripture is that he outlined certain things that were going to happen. so that you could spot these things, and when you spot these things, you would know you're moving into a very delicate period of time in human history. And I do believe personally we are a generation that was chosen of God to face some of the greatest challenges in the end time. And that's one reason why I believe Satan is working overtime, a full court press, to try to discourage, to try to wear out the saints of God in the church of God. Because if he can do that, then he feels from his point of view that he can foil the plan of God. But Jesus gave us the promise. He says the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. That God is supporting the church. God is going to be with us right to the end. Lo, I am with you always, right to the very end. But now it's important to understand something about the end time. When we read in the book of Daniel, some of the things that are mentioned there, Daniel was given an insight into the future, and it was shocking to him. He wanted to know. He wanted to understand, well, Lord, what does this all mean? And of course, he was told, go your way, Daniel. Why? It's not for you. It's not your generation. It's sealed. Everything that I have given you and shown you is sealed until the time of the end, when it will be revealed to that end time generation that needs to know these things, because they're going to be smack dab in the middle of all the fireworks that will be going on, and they have to have what's the answer to all this? And so what God has done, he's given us an outline, and in Matthew 24, he tells us very plainly that to his disciples, so if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, and you are in him, and he is in you, and that means you have repented, that means you have been baptized, you've had hands laid upon you, you have received the Spirit of God, and you have now become or are in the process of becoming, because many people are in the pre-conversion state that God is working with. God loves all people, but not all people love God. That is a big thing to keep in mind. If you love God and you want to do his will, and you don't want to do anything that offends him, that means the fear of God is in your mind and heart. And that's where it needs to be. Because again, without the fear of God, we get in trouble. And God wants us to stay out of trouble. So he outlines all the various things that will continue to escalate as we move into this very dangerous period of time. And he talks about things that we have already experienced. World War I, World War II. Well, what's on the horizon? We're hearing voices out there yelling and screaming now that, hey, we may be headed for World War III. And of course, this one would be most disastrous to mankind because now we're talking about nuclear weapons. It is a shame to look back and see how we have done some things diplomatically that have put us in a very dangerous state of affairs. Under the Obama regime, when he was in power, they were negotiating with Iran, and they wanted to make sure that, you know, they could have a situation where the nuclear problem would be resolved. The only problem, they didn't do their history check. And when they finally negotiated the so-called Iran deal and gave them all that money and everything else that was given at the time, what they failed to understand, when the treaty or that promise, whatever they negotiated with, when it was finally done, lo and behold, you know when they signed that? They signed it on the night of, in the Iranian calendar, it was the night in which they believe that they were going to receive the promise of nuclear weapons from Allah. And we played right into their hands. And so now they are stronger than ever before. They're working toward making a nuclear weapon. And, of course, Israel, the state of Israel, the Jewish state, says we can't allow that. And if that happens, we may have to take an offensive move and go after them. But also hidden in that particular treaty with Iran as we were negotiating was the fact that we committed ourselves that if Israel would attack Iran, that we, the United States, would come to the aid of Iran. That does not make sense. But we're doing stupid things like this, and it's all in the record. You can go back and check all these things, the events that have happened. So what now is developed through this whole process is that we have entered into a time of great distress and distrust. Everything is in a questionable state. What do you believe? What can you trust? What can you put your confidence and faith in? Well, God tells us it has to be in Him, because if it's in anything else, it's going to fail. And so what does it say now in Matthew 24? As it goes on, it says, all these, verse 8 in Matthew 24, all these are the beginning of sorrows. It's just the beginning. And it's already enough to drive many people, as we say, crazy for what they see. And it says, you shall be delivered up to be afflicted. There are many people being afflicted right now because of their religious belief and conviction. Not just members of the Church of God, but also other church groups. It seems like anything that embraces the name Jesus Christ is a target, whether it's the truth or whether it's a mix of truth and error. But here's the thing, it says, and many shall be offended. Boy, are we right now, where everybody is super sensitive and they get offended so easily. And they shall betray one another. Yes, how would they betray one another? Well, would your government ask you to do something that if they saw you, if you're a child, that you're supposed to report your parents, or if you're supposed to report your neighbor, if you see anything that indicates maybe a homegrown terrorist? But who defines that? The powers that are in control. And so we see a lot of crazy things going. Many false prophets, verse 11, it says, are going to rise up and deceive many, because they're going to tell you, we know the answer to all this. We see what's coming. We'll even be accused of that too, I'm sure, in the process, because by the grace of God, we see what is coming. And, you know, when somebody doesn't want to believe the truth, what they will do is they will deny, then they will deflect, and then they will blame. That's the cycle that human beings follow. That can't be. This is the reason why it happened. They deflect it. And then they'll blame, say, well, it was your fault. That's why it happened. And that repeats itself time and time again in everyday life and activities. And then it goes on, it says, but he that endures to the end. He that endures to the end. Why is this important? Because verse 12 is the key. Verse 12 is what we want to look at. Because iniquity, or better put, lawlessness. Lawlessness, that's what iniquity translates to. And it said, because lawlessness shall abound, the love of many, and some translations say the love of the majority, it says, shall wax cold. People will become indifferent. They will not care about other individuals. They'll kind of draw in and separate themselves, trying to stay on top of things apart from everybody. But you know, you and I are called to be involved with everybody. We can't hide. If we hide, we're like putting our light under a bushel basket. We got to be right out there in the middle, stand on what we believe, have confidence in what we believe, and give an answer for what we believe. Not that it's going to change people. God told Ezekiel, you go out there and you tell them what I'm telling you. And they're not going to listen to you. They're going to get hard-headed, and I'm going to make your head just as strong to tell the truth. He said, but they got to have warning from me. And he says, and if you don't warn them and they die, then the blood is on your hands. Well, the job of the ministry today and the Church of God as a whole is to warn not only the brethren to stay on top of things spiritually, but also our nation, that our nation's on a dangerous course. All right. We are experiencing right now, in the timeline of events that are happening, we are seeing and witnessing this very explosion of lawlessness. Now, there's always been lawless behavior. You and I know that as well. Other people would challenge and say, yeah, well, there's always been. Yeah, all these things have been to some degree. But nothing has ever happened, not in your lifetime or mine, that we have ever witnessed an explosion in violence and upheaval that's happening right now in our beloved United States of America. Who would have ever thought we would see this being reported on the news like this? And the terrible things that are happening. Once up in Minnesota here recently, terrible thing. This gentleman, if I can call him that, he did what? He was, I guess, the boyfriend of this woman, and she'd been involved with him. And what did he do? He was abusive. He had a rap sheet, like many of these criminals do. He just recently decapitated her, cut her head off. And he was brought before the judge, and for $50,000 bail, he was let loose. He's walking the streets, a guy who had just cut the head off of another human being. Our judicial system's in chaos. Everything's in chaos. Law and order is under attack, and that's why you hear defund the police. Well, when all this goes down like this, what it's basically telling us is that iniquity is running wild. Now, we are experiencing it because America is not the only one. Around the world, we're seeing lawless behavior increase. Now, this was going to be something that God warned us would be happening in the end time. And so I've entitled this message, and we're going to look at this from a perspective that maybe we've never seen before. We're going to take a look at the wicked elements that are out there. I've entitled this message, The Rise, or first of all, it's called Lawlessness, The Rise of the Wicked. Lawlessness and the Rise of the Wicked. Satan's seed. We're going to see exactly how that all dovetails together. The rise of the wicked. Yeah, they are Satan's seeds, all right. Because it was prophesied here in Matthew 24, verse 12. And it's what you and I, as God's elect, are going to have to deal with in the days, weeks, months, and years ahead. I mentioned to you earlier that events were sealed till the time of the end. That's where it says in Daniel chapter 12, verses 8 through 10, Daniel 12, 8 through 10, it says the wise would understand because they're in touch with God. But it says the wicked would do wickedly and none of the wicked would understand. They would not be able to understand what's happening. But they will look forward to blaming somebody for all the evil that they have been responsible for. All right, we read something interesting now that we must also understand. When the Bible talks about wicked, it means everybody. Everybody. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, you and I don't like to look at ourselves as, could we be wicked? And the answer is yes, according to Jeremiah 17:9. Jeremiah 17:9. It reminds us, it says what? That the heart is desperately wicked. Things are going on in our deep innermost being that we think nobody knows. But we have been so influenced by the world in which we live. People are practicing bad habits in the dark, thinking nobody knows what's going on. But God sees it all. His angels report to him constantly the behavior of all those that he sends them forth to serve and to watch over. The heart is desperately wicked. So what is God telling us? He's in the business of changing our heart. That's what conversion is all about. When God calls us, he brings us to an awareness that things are not right in our life and that we've got to change. And so because of the calling of God, we embrace that calling and we start the change process with the help of God's Spirit. And in that, what do we learn? We learn that we must be overcomers. That when we find these wicked ways in us, things that are unacceptable to God, we must get rid of them. Now, the real wicked of this world don't want to get rid of that. They don't want to answer the call to God, even if they heard it. Their heart is on a different path, and we're going to look at that today and be able to identify when we run into the wicked. It's an interesting thing to study the scriptures and realize in Revelation 9, for example, verse 20 and 21, it reveals to us that the wicked will not do what? They won't repent. There is no place for repentance in the heart of the wicked, who are dedicated to things that are opposed to God. You and I have a repentant heart. We're not perfect. God knows that. He loves us, and he's provided salvation through Christ. And he sees that we want to repent, so we practice the way that God has outlined for us. We practice that kind of life. But what does the world, who are classified as wicked, what do? They practice their kind of life, the way they want to live. And they don't want God telling them what to do. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, you and I are reminded of something very, very important. And most people don't pay attention to this, but it should make us take very much note. It reveals to us that we're involved in a spiritual war. A spiritual war, not a physical war. Although it impacts on our physical life, we're involved in a spiritual war, the scriptures are telling us. And what does that involve? We're fighting what the scripture tells us, wicked spirits in high places. So in high places of authority and government, some translations say those principalities are governments. We're fighting the government. Isn't it interesting? Right now, it seems like people are in a clash in the United States with government. Governments issuing all kinds of decrees that are really not theirs according to what they supposedly said they did. They swore to uphold the Constitution of the United States. That was their oath when they took office. That's what the president said. That's what all Congress people have, the same thing. But what have they done? They've done just the opposite. They are not supporting it because in their mind, they don't mean when they say we support the values, and their idea of the Constitution is the United Nations and the Brotherhood of Men, the new rewriting of the Constitution and the doing away with the American Constitution. This is part of the element that's going on right now. So they're following a different set of values. And that's what the wicked do. And God notices that very quickly. He sees what's happening. Now, with all this upheaval that's going on, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 and just take note of again of what God reminds us is going on in the lives of these people. And if it were not going on in their lives, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, beginning in verse 2, he talks to us in the broad vernacular here. He says, where in times past, that means all of us walk this way, we would be classified as wicked because we were on the wrong side of the ledger. He says, you walked according to the course of this world. You were just like everybody else. But now you've chosen not to be like everybody else, but to walk in the way that God has revealed in the scriptures. God has opened your eyes to see it. And it says, but that course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Yes, he dominates the airwaves. And we hear it today, whether it be on television or radio or any form, cell phone, makes no difference. These voice emanations have to transmit through the airwaves. And that's exactly what we're involved in. It says, the prince of the power of the air. Notice this, the spirit that now works, and I circled this, that works in the children of disobedience. This is what is the driving force behind much of these problems we are experiencing. Satan and the fallen realm stir things up in the lives of people who are of this world, who do not want to embrace God. And so they're out there yelling and screaming for things that are contrary to the very Constitution that was provided for our benefit. It was to provide rights for us, but you and I hear about different rights. We hear about rights that take us in a different way. So it is something that we need to look at now as we break down this even more so. Now, this might come as a shock if you've never noticed this. But the world you and I live in is filled with some very, very wicked people, and they're not very nice. They're not very nice. You turn your news on and you see people jumping on people, beating them, and then U.S. postal man was attacked in New York City, beaten brutally. Hijackings, terrible things we keep hearing and reporting on the news. You don't want to dwell too much on that because that becomes negative in your mind. But you got to be know what's going on around you. But the days are definitely evil. So what we see is that the wicked, really, from God's perspective, says they really only care about themselves. That's why they're yelling and screaming about their ways. They don't want to acknowledge others who want to live a different way. They despise, I'm going to go through these very rapidly now to help us understand some of these signs that you run into in people's lives. The wicked, they despise their fellow man. They despise their fellow man. That's in Proverbs 14 and verse 21. So when you hear people despising other people and vocalizing things with a despising attitude, like somebody who might say, they're all a bunch of deplorables. If your fellow man is a bunch of deplorables, that means what? It means plain and simple. They despise you. They don't acknowledge that you have a right according to the Constitution that God provided in those earlier men. You know, when those men signed that Declaration of Independence, you know what they said? And I asked myself, wow, would they do that today? They ended up by saying, we pledge our lives, our wealth, and our sacred honor to this Declaration of Independence. How many people would do that today? Well, that's food for thought, and how far we have gotten away from our founding fathers, who are being attacked and maligned in every which way. No, they despise their fellow man. They care only about their own benefits. If other people get trampled, they don't care. Proverbs 18 and verse 3. Proverbs 18 and verse 3. Many of these scriptures you can go back at your own time and study for a Bible study, and they make a very helpful review of these things. They don't even value their relationship with their parents. It's amazing. Parents play a very important part in the plan of God. Notice in the Ten Commandments, one of those commandments say what? You are to give honor to your father and your mother. It doesn't say you love them. It says you have to give honor. Why? Because sometimes some have grown up under very difficult decisions, and it's hard for them to love their parents. They have to get past that. God will help them, because God's giving us a new heart, a heart of love and understanding and compassion. And none of us are perfect. We all need God's saving grace. And that's what God is in the process of doing. No, they don't. They despise. And the scripture there tells us in Proverbs 15 and verse 20, despise not your mother when she's old. You know, she might have been a raving beauty in 20 and 25. But when you get up there in those older years, what happens? The cosmology here changes. The makeup of our human bodies change. We don't look as handsome and beautiful as we may have done in our earlier years when God made us, but we need to be thankful nevertheless. That's very important. All right, the wicked believe that they are right. So when you run into people who say, it's my way or the highway, they don't even want to talk about it. Do we see that going on today? Oh, yes. Yes, again, the very element we're seeing all the lawlessness is because of the rise of the wicked. The rise of the wicked. And they are coming as it was back in the days of Noah. The wickedness was terrible. Violence filled the earth back at that time. And God saw that it's gone too far. And it came finally to the point where God says, it's over. And God is waiting until it's come to its full. And then God says, it's over. And Jesus will get the nod, and he'll be coming back in power and strength to correct this wretched mess that is developed in this end time. And it'll never be like this ever again. No, they have contempt for others. Luke 18 and verse 9, that's, as I mentioned, we're deplorables. We just don't know. We don't understand what they in their great wisdom understand. They don't want to sit down and negotiate and talk about things from a combination of coming up with the right benefit for everybody. It's either their way, but not your way. And so we're hearing things like censorship taking place. Some of this material kind of grabs your mind, like what happened in 1930s and 30s through the prelude up to World War II in Nazi Germany when certain tactics were done. We're seeing the same things happening again, sadly, in America. Now, who would have believed that would ever happen here? No, they're not interested in changing. They don't believe there is a need for change because that's their lifestyle. They're living, doing what they want to do. And that means there's no repentance in their heart. They have no desire to change whatever lifestyle they're living, but they want to force it down your throat, make you realize you have to, in the name of love, accept everything. And God says, in the name of love, no. He doesn't accept everything. He demands a change, and that change has to be a valid change. And why? Let's go to Romans chapter 3 and verse 18. Romans chapter 3 and verse 18. In verse 15, we see again, their feet are swift to shed blood. That's happening on a scale never before seen. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Most cities are being burned. Things are happening in all the major cities. And people are concerned what's happening. Well, there's a breakdown in law enforcement. Nobody's enforcing the law. It's amazing we have a border wide open and people are permitted to come across the border with COVID-19. And the variant. And yet everybody else is being demanded now, mandatory this, mandatory that. So why is it one is to be mandatory, but the others you let run wild and you bring them into the country to infect everybody all over again? These are things that make no sense, but it's confusion and it causes turmoil. And God says, we have to come out of her, my people, come out of this way of thinking. Remember what God has said. And he goes on to say, the way of peace they have not known. Why? Verse 18. Because there is no fear of God before their eyes. See, you and I live our everyday life because we live with the fear of God before us. We know God is watching. His eyes are everywhere. Nothing is hid from him. And this is why it's so important for us to recognize having no fear of God. There's no motivation to reach out for a higher power. They just couldn't care less. But what will happen? Everything is cause and effect. And because causes now will bring certain punishments for behavior, what will happen? They've got to look for a scapegoat. They've got to look for somebody to blame. And they'll be looking. Now, why is this all important? Let's notice Luke 19. Luke 19, verse 27. Luke 19, verse 27. Luke 19 and verse 27. Now, when Jesus comes back and he's reigning over his kingdom, the millennial kingdom of God. Notice what it says in verse 27. But those mine enemies. Now what makes you an enemy of God? Very plain. You don't live by God's code of ethics. And so he says, bring those individuals, my enemies, which would not, there's the problem, which would not that I should reign over them. Our destiny as human beings is to have Jesus Christ reign over us for our good and for the blessing of all mankind. But these wicked individuals who are the seed of Satan, as we're going to see shortly, these individuals, they do not want Christ to reign over them. But Jesus says, bring them hither and notice, slay them before me. Sounds like Jesus is going to do some killing in the future. Now, why is he going to do that? Because this is a worthless group of individuals. They don't even want to comply with God. Even when the Son of God comes back in power and in glory, they still will resist him because they are of Satan, the devil. Now, this is something very important that we're all in the process of learning. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, 2 Peter 2, 9 and 10, it reveals that these wicked individuals who are against God, they despise authority. And that's exactly what we're seeing, the breakdown of authority in our country today and in many places around the world. They want to defund the police. They don't want anything that has control. They want to be free to do whatever they want. Now, what are you and I supposed to learn from that? We have to learn what I call kingdom authority. Kingdom authority. You and I are called to be rulers in the kingdom of God. And we are to do what? Teach in that time the truth of God. The truth that they now will be given in a way they have not seen. Everyone will have a chance and opportunity for salvation according to the plan of God. We know that. But this is going to be something very interesting to watch and behold. Because again, God's word breaks down our barriers and it changes us. It changes us. We find that in Jeremiah 23, verse 29. And it is submission to God. Isn't it interesting that Satan has a counterfeit out there in Islam? What does Islam mean? Submission. And they are in total submission to Allah. And they're waiting for their final iman to come and do what? Bring salvation to the world and make everybody Islamic. Oh, there's always a counterfeit out there, according to the Bible. Satan is always on whatever God says here, he'll come and counterfeit it. God takes note of all of us who are willing to change. This is very important. Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2. He talks about the heavens and the earth being his footstool. He said, but to this individual will I look. I'll look to this individual who does what? Cares anxiously or trembles before the word of God. Takes it seriously. Doesn't dismiss it. Doesn't try to malign it. But believe it, as the scripture clearly says. The wicked are going to be held accountable by the word of God because they won't change. It just will not change. Proverbs 13 and verse 1. Let's go to Proverbs 13 and verse 1. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1, we have the following. It says, a wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scorner hears not rebuke. So there we have a very clear presentation. They don't want to be rebuked. They don't want to be told that they could be wrong. And God shows that is a wicked course of life, because the wicked despise discipline and correction, found in Proverbs 15, verse 32. That's the way of God. That's the way of God. They refuse to improve themselves. They're happy the way they are. They just want to be left alone to do what they want to do. So in reality, they don't value the promises of God that he has given to all of us. Doing right, being committed, having faith requires effort on all of our part. All of us have that. But the wicked wants nothing to do with such things. They don't want to hear about faith. They don't want to hear about, I've got to do what? I've got to keep the Sabbath and the holy days? What are you talking about? They don't want to hear that. When people take that course of action, then we have a serious breach in the relationship between a person and God. The path of righteousness requires hardships. Hebrews 12, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 12, verses 5 and 6. That's why Paul, the disciples, understood that it is through much tribulation we enter the kingdom of God. It's going to take time, and we have lessons to learn. And remember, trials are to test our character. Temptations are Satan's desire to overthrow us spiritually. And we have to resist his temptations, and we have to respond to God's loving correction, which gives us again, when we pass that trial, when we come through in faith and trusting God, he's going to bless us big time for that, he promises. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. It's a prayer we all have to ask God, but it takes courage to ask this. Search me, O Lord. Why is that necessary? There may be some wicked way in you that you don't see, but God sees it, and God will bring it to the fore and give you the strength with his Spirit to overcome it. No, the wicked reject God. They do not want to obey God. God warned the Israelites what would happen to them if they walked away from him. You and I know that as the Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, the blessing and cursing chapter. Those blessings, those curses, we see it happening. We see blessings that have been given. We see blessings that have been taken away. We've lost the Panama Canal. We've lost our financial greatness. We're already in so much debt, the bottom could fall out at any time. They call it a Minsky moment, when suddenly everything that we produce as a country is going to have to go to just pay the interest on the debt. Not on the debt itself, but the interest on the debt. And when we go down, the rest of the world's going to go down with us. And they are going to be mad. And they're going to come after us because they're going to say, you're the ones that caused it. And yes, we foolishly have placed ourselves in a very bad situation. No, they despise anything that is good in Psalm 36 and verse 4. Psalm 36 and verse 4. Have you ever had a time when you tried to do something right and somebody else was with you and they say, what are you trying to be, a goody two-shoes or something? They kind of denigrate you because many of the people around you may be swearing, using vulgar language, and you're not doing that. And that bothers them. It reminds them they shouldn't be doing it. So how do? They attack you and say, you're goody two-shoes. Or they'll use the expression, well, nobody's perfect. Well, nobody is perfect. So what does it mean by saying that? Nothing, really. No, as it was in the days of Noah. That was written for our learning to help us understand something. And I just want to reference some of these things here for us. Let's go to John chapter 8, the book of John. I want to share something here with you that we may not be fully aware of. This is in the book of John chapter 8. Now, Jesus had just been talking to the Jews at his time. He was explaining different things. In verse 32 of John chapter 8, he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then they answered him and said, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How say you then that you shall make us free? Well, then he goes and explains the elements involved, the works of Abraham. And then he comes down to something very interesting in verse 44. He does not condemn them or say, you're wrong, you were in bondage. Sure they were. He's talking to Jews and they were living under Roman occupation. They were free to do what they were going to do, but they had to do it in collaboration with Rome. Now notice, if you will, Jesus answers to them. He says, why do you not understand my speech? Verse 43. Because you cannot hear my word. There was something blocking it. And then he goes on to say this very interesting statement. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks his own, for he is the father. He is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Now, in this chapter as well, Jesus goes back and makes a statement here in verse 37. He says, I know that you are Abraham's seed. Notice that. He said, I know that you are Abraham's seed. He says, but you seek to kill me. He says, you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen of my father, and you do that which you have seen of your father. Now, what's interesting here is that what Christ is talking about, the Jews in his day truly were of Abraham, but they were not of Jacob's lineage. Remember, what did Abraham have? He had two sons, Jacob and what? Esau. This goes back to something, a war between these two brothers, and something that goes back even further, the war between Jesus Christ and Satan the devil. And you begin to see this begin to show itself, because the Jews here were of Abraham, but they were not of Jacob's lineage, of Esau. And Christ did not rebuke them when he said that. He didn't say, you're lying. No, it's true. What are you saying in essence? I'm just giving you an overview on this very quickly. You'd have to go back and research it, but it's there. And I'll give you even the areas where it goes. The ruling Jews in Jerusalem in Christ's day, they were not Jews from Jacob. They were not Jews from Jacob, but from Esau, the other one who was born. So please remember that. And you may forget when, after Jacob did what? After he stole the birthright, what transpired? After he took the birthright, Esau comes in and he says, don't you have a blessing for me? And he says, yes, I'll give you a blessing. But I gave the real blessing of the birthright to your brother. But that other blessing that he gave them, where is that blessing played out? How is that shown? What is its far-reaching ramifications? And the answer is this. It changed the history of mankind, because the vow of Esau, I don't know if you remember about the vow of Esau, but it has never been fulfilled. It has never been fulfilled. It is yet to be fulfilled. What did he say he would do in that vow? I will kill my brother. And that's exactly what his intention was at that time. Now, it didn't play out at that time, but that vow has never been fulfilled. Now, who and what are we involved with here? Esau plays a very important part, because he was going to dwell where the riches were. He was going to dwell where the riches were. And where were they? They were in Rome. Rome had the riches. And these Jews that were involved in this were in a relationship with Rome. And here's some of the interesting information. Some of this you can look at in Genesis 27, verse 39, where it talks about that. He would be dispersed among his brethren, verse 40. And then Genesis 36, verse 1 says, Edom is Esau. Edom is Esau. Now, you can dig this up on your cell phone. Just put the following in there, and you'll get some interesting information. It's called the Hasmonean Hasmonean dynasty. A Hasmonean dynasty. Why is that important? Well, because Esau and the Idumeans are referred to as an individual group of people who were of Esau, and they were conquered by the Hasmonean Jewish power at that time. That was in 100 BC, and they were told, either you convert to Judaism or your history. It was forced conversion, similar to what the Catholics did in Spain, either become a Catholic or get out. So these things have been going on in history. This is from the World Book Encyclopedia, Volume 6, page 55. Edom is part of modern Jewry today. They're part of that. Now, here's where it gets really interesting and exciting. The Jewish Encyclopedia has this in Volume 5, page 41. Volume 5, page 41. By the time of Christ, the Idumeans became the dominant ruling class within Jewry at that time. These were the ones under King Herod, who was an Idumean, and this was what developed into the priesthood in the days of Jesus when he walked. So here is Jesus, who represents Jacob's line, and what do you have? King Herod, who represents Esau's line. And what did I just read to you in the scripture? Why do you seek to kill me? Because Satan has always wanted to kill Jesus. Anything that God has put forth, he wants to overthrow. And so in this particular case, those individuals in Herod's day, remember, he was an Idumean, and he built Herod's temple as a favor to the Jews, because he was part of it, and they were the ruling class, again, where the riches were, in connection with the Roman Empire. It's going to happen again in the end time, brethren. It's coming again. And what ends up happening? Well, that priesthood dominated and infiltrated into Rome, and you and I know it now as the great woman of Revelation 17. The Catholic Church. This is very powerful, but history documents it. It's there. So, what do we end up having here? We see that Jesus had to be put to death by Rome because the Jewish law said we can't kill him. It's not in our power. But they wanted him dead because they feared they would lose their power in relationship to Rome. Esau has always dwelt where the riches are. In the United States, you have what? How many individuals? I don't know how this will play out, but I look at several different ways that what it says, those that say they are Jews and are not. False Jews that were brought in. Time will tell. Proverbs 1 and verse, or excuse me, let me back this up here. The wicked spend their days planning evil. Now you will wonder, the wicked plan their days planning evil? You read that in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. It says that God looked down, he says, and the imagination of their heart was only evil continually. When I looked at the marginal reference, you know what it said? It was wicked continually, or every day. Every day they were thinking of evil things to do. That's why violence began to fill the earth to such a degree. Well, you and I are told to reject these evil individuals. And it's going to get worse, I'm afraid. The great treasure of eternal life is a path that they don't want. They're living for the now. You and I are blessed to have a rich and a truthful life now, but the real blessings come in the kingdom of God, when Christ returns, and you and I want to be there with him. Proverbs 1 and verse 10 reminds us that if sinners entice you, consent not. You don't have to do it. God has given us the power to say no. But that takes character, because we all want to be liked. And when we want to be liked, we sometimes compromise. And God says you can't compromise with his way of life. The end of Satan's seed, all the wicked who embraced his rebelling ways, is mentioned in Malachi 4, verse 3. They're going to become ashes under the righteous feet. Only the righteous will survive. Well, that's just a brief overview of a subject that I wanted to share with you today, because, again, lawlessness is increasing. We're seeing it on a massive scale, exploding. Where it's going to lead, only time will tell. Will martial law have to be declared in the streets of America? Will foreign soldiers be brought into this country? God only knows. But you hear a lot of things out there of things happening and are brewing. No, it was prophesied the seed of Satan would rise up in the end time and create as much trouble as they could for God's people. Let's stay close to God. Let's thank God for his truth. And may God keep us safe from the dark days that are yet ahead.